Good evening.
If you would like, we will be spending the majority of our time in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Spend a lot of time in verses 1 through 6. As I generally tell people, sometimes the rabbits run off in my mind. I'll try not to do that too much. If you would like, once you turn there, I would like to go ahead and just read that scripture to you. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, or to please him, I'm sorry. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I think it's important before I go too much into this, and we'll go through the lesson here, but often, We can think of ourselves as we are faithful, that we have the faith. But then something comes along that crumbles that faith. It can be the loss of a loved one. It can be the loss of a job. Anything along those lines. One big catastrophic moment can rock our faith. Being a people of faith, we don't just want to have faith only in the good times, but we want to have faith in the bad times as well. The importance of having faith in the good times is so that when you do go through those trials or tribulations, that you can get through them, that you have that hope and that trust that God will answer your prayers, God will take care of you, and he knows what's best. Often we have this idea that we think we know what's best. Now, I'm guilty of that. I'm sure at one point you guys might agree that you've been guilty of that as well. But I want us to really focus on this aspect of faith and focus on what faith encompasses and focus on, I'll give some examples of people that were faithful people and try to explain to you a little bit more of why we need to be people of faith. So just a brief introduction there. That passage discusses faith. It gives an overview of what faith is. It reminds us that there were people in the Old Testament that had faith as well. It reminds us that faith was by God's design. See, what I like to think about with that is I like my mind, and I'm jumping a little bit ahead here, but I like my mind to drift back to the beginning of time. God knew once he created us he knew before then. He had a plan for the beginning that we would sin, that we would make mistakes, that Adam and Eve were going to mess up. The one thing I find wonderful about God, I find many things, but one thing that really I find out wonderful about him is the fact that he is willing to still create Adam and Eve, allow us to be created, knowing that he's going to have to send his son to die, knowing that we are going to sin and we are going to mess up. But he still loved us enough, loved us so much that he was willing to do that still. Can you imagine if we were in his position and we knew somebody was going to mess up and they were going to, they would betray us by sinning or stabbing us in the back? Is that something that you would think of? Would you have created that person? Would you have had enough wherewithal to say, okay, well, I know they're going to mess up, but I've got a plan and ready, and I'll be able to take care of it. It reminds us as well of the rewards that people of faith will receive. Faith, as Christians, we should already have faith. However, these verses allow us the opportunity to examine if we have the right faith, the deep faith, the soul-saving faith. For those who have not put on Christ, it outlines faith and explains why it's so important to have faith and what happens when we don't have faith. And we'll go through that here this evening. In Hebrews 11:1, the substance of things hoped for. I tried to break down some of these phrases for it. Substance here means an essence or a reality. The things we are sure of are the things that God has promised. God's promises are recorded to us throughout the Bible. We have many promises and prophecies that have been fulfilled, including if you think about all the prophecies regarding Christ in Isaiah. And then we see the evidence of things not seen. The things we are convinced of are things God has revealed. Faith believes what God has revealed. Faith trusts what God has promised. In our case, you know, something that's different from what some of the people back in the Bible era were doing before the Bible was all the way completed was their faith had seen miracles, they had seen things happen that Jesus had done that helped build their faith. They didn't have the complete Bible like we do. And when you think about that, when it comes to faith, how much more faith should we have in reality? Because we have everything we need to have that close, loving relationship with the Lord. We just have to choose to take that on. A lot of times, it's not easy for us to admit when we're wrong and to humble ourselves and respect the Bible as what it is. It's the all-inspired, it's all-sufficient, all-inerrant Word of God. And we have to be mindful. If you're not studying the Bible and taking time to learn the Bible, how can you have a closer relationship with the Lord? How can you have that faith that you need to have in God if you don't even know what He expects? And it takes a lot of time. It's not like you're going to get it right now. You really have to study and dive in. That's one thing I've really learned at school. I thought I knew some things about the Bible, but there's passages I thought I knew that I didn't know as well as what I thought. Because we did a deeper dive into them at school. We learned a more proper, the term that they use is they did more of an exegesis of the scripture, brought more out that maybe not apparent to us. It involves a deeper study, and it's part of applying a proper hermeneutic for us in order to be able to do that. And we see in Hebrews 11 verse 2, it refers to we were talking about the faithful people of the Old Testament. These people, they had faith and hopes in things that they could not see. An example of faith, just an example of faith from the Old Testament, we'll have more. But one that I think really sticks out, two people really, but the first one's Abraham. I want you to think about this. You want to talk about faith? He was willing to take his son and sacrifice him on a mountain. Now, who here would be willing to sacrifice a friend or their child or anybody that they care about in order? Who here could do that? If you could do that, you've got better faith than I do. I will openly admit I cannot do that. I could not do that. But the great thing was Abraham showed his faith, and God, of course, as you know the story, God provided a sacrifice. Where Abraham didn't have to sacrifice his son. Think about Noah, talking about being people of faith. Noah was building an ark. Could you imagine being back then? People probably would have thought that Noah was crazy. They're like, what is this guy doing? And I'm not saying that we wouldn't have felt the same way. We weren't there, so I won't say that we know or don't know how we would have felt. But he had the faith to do it anyways, regardless of the ridicule and how he was being treated by other people. He did it. Shouldn't our faith be more like that? Shouldn't our faith be you're willing to go through anything to serve the Lord? Something that really sticks out to me with our faith and having a great faith is the fact that we have a hope of heaven if we remain faithful to the Lord. The things that we go through that are hard here on earth, there'll be nothing compared to the joys that we'll have in eternity if we've served the Lord and remained faithful. If we ran the race and we obtained that crown, we need to be mindful of that, because honestly, a lot of times we're so used to having start and end times on things because we're all going to die one day. But we're punching a time clock if you're at work, or you have a start and end time if you're going to a doctor's appointment when it starts, and sometimes roughly when it's over depending on the appointment. We're used to that. But in eternity, that's going to be forever. So we have to think bigger picture. This life can be very tough at times for you. There's a lot of giants that we'll have to overcome in our life. But David, he overcome that giant that was in front of him. He had faith in God, while the other guys were like, what is this little guy going out here? He's going to take down this giant. The giant even mocked him and made fun of him. But his faith was so strong that he was willing to do that. He didn't care. He's like, I'm going to do this. I know God's there for me. When we face a giant in our life, whatever your giant may be, whatever, if you have one right now, whatever it may be, do you take it on head on, trusting in God that you'll get through it, or do you cower and allow the giant to become a problem? I have a habit of using myself for an example. So when I go to school, sometimes I'm really worried. Even though I study and I do my best, I'm worried, and there's that giant in front of me. What if I fail? What if I don't succeed? Then I embarrass myself and everybody else. you know what? That's a lack of faith on my part. God sees me trying. Charles Pugh said it best to me when I really worried my first year. He said, God sees you trying, Jordan. He knows you're doing what you're supposed to do. He's not going to allow you to fail. Not that he's going to take the test for me either, but he's going to work with you and he's going to help you. He's going to see to it that you succeed because he knows you're trying. At the end of the day, you know you pleased him. Well, when we have those giants in our life, we have to be willing to do that. And a lot of the time what we find is all that time we spent worrying about the giant or the struggle that we're going through in life that's crushing our faith or causing problems in our faith, a lot of the time is if we would have spent that effort of worrying and took it over to the effort of we're going to take this challenge on, we'd have got through it a lot faster. Instead, you waste time worrying about things that a lot of time we don't really have control over other than if we do something about it or we sit back and allow. And here in Hebrews 11:3, only through our faith do we understand that God created the universe and everything in it. We referred to it just a few moments ago, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Today, we see claims in the world to many alternative ways. You got the Big Bang Theory and all these other messy theories that don't make any sense, and I don't know where they come from, why people think that makes sense. What I really think it comes down to is people are trying to rationalize because they don't want to accept what's in the Bible. So if you don't want to accept what's in the Bible, you find every excuse not to. You find a way around it. You push everything down. You know, the biggest problem with faith today is that, one, people don't want to have it, and two, people defy logic and reason. They don't want to pay attention to it. They think, well, if I just think this, your truth, my truth, my truth, it doesn't matter what the real truth is. Being people of faith, we need to examine the scriptures and know what true truth is and to know what the Lord says. Through our understanding, we can know that Jesus suffered for us. He died on the cross. He fulfilled the plan of salvation. He's waiting to welcome faithful followers to heaven. Isn't that a wonderful thought? He's waiting to have us come in and enjoy heaven and be there with him. You know, I said it the other day, I was given a lesson on hell, and you know, we talk about heaven and how beautiful it is, and it is. I think it's just so unimaginable how beautiful heaven is. Words can only do so much justice for heaven. Just much like we have times, and again, I'm sorry, I'm chasing a little bit of a rabbit here. Again, we have times with hell. I don't think we can really imagine what the horror and torment of the alternative is. And we have to be careful. We need to be seeking after what God wants. So here's some more descriptions of people. Hebrews 11:4 talks about Abel. Abel had faith by listening to God. Abel was commended as righteous because of a sacrifice that God accepted. He offered a firstborn lamb from the flock. Offering that lamb was a sign that Abel was trusting in God's promise. And we see that promise was fulfilled later on when Jesus laid down his life for us on the cross. You also, something that you can get there from faith, another thing of faith, Abel was willing to give his best to God and he did what God expected, while Cain, on the other hand, thought he could just give God whatever he wanted and it was whatever way he wanted to worship it. Does that not sound like, at times, the world today? Our sole source of our faith and object of worship is God. But so often people don't want to do what he wants with worship. They want to do what they want. And I'm not saying I'm not guilty of that. Don't think I'm up here saying, oh, look at me. I'm nothing special. I'm just the messenger of God's word. That's all I am. And that doesn't even make that. I'm happy to do that, but I'm not a prideful person. What I'm just getting at with that is we have to be willing to humble ourselves. And God is first. Everything else is second. If God says this is the way we worship him, that's the way we worship him. If we're faithful people and faithful servants of God, we will do as he commanded. We can't be a people of faith if we just do whatever we want and think that that's the way to be. So how do Christians today listen to God? By listening to what he tells us through the inspired scripture? By applying it to our everyday lives and not having deaf ears. If you remember from Acts 7, when Stephen's given the message, the people shut their ears off. And then eventually Stephen, of course, there gets stoned. We can't have deaf ears. You can't just pick and choose in the Bible what you decide that's okay to use and what's not. It doesn't work that way. And we need to be, and having a better knowledge of these scriptures and being faithful to God, we'll recognize what false doctrine is. You know, a lot of times with false doctrine, it attacks people of faith all the time. You have to just, it's there. There's wolves in sheep's clothing that are going to share false doctrine with you. And you have to be able to recognize that. But how can you recognize it if you didn't study? You know, a lot of people will tell you when it comes to false doctrine that, well, they do it in ignorance. Well, I'm not going to say everybody doesn't do it in ignorance. Some of them do. But the good majority of false teachers, they know what they're doing. They just don't care. And they prey on the weak. When you're a new Christian, if you haven't spent a lot of time in the Bible, you need to make sure you get into it immediately, because those people are like ravenous wolves. If they sense you don't know the Bible, that's how they pull people away and destroy people's faith. They prey on the weak. Doesn't Satan go around like a roaring lion seeking to devour us? So we have to be strong in our scriptures. We have to be strong in our faith. We have to understand too, don't allow yourself to get discouraged by that you don't understand the full extent of every scripture. Thomas Warren said it best with this: the Bible, and I'm paraphrasing here, the Bible is a wealth of knowledge that we will never fully plumb. It doesn't mean you can't learn what you need to have to serve the Lord. It just means there's so much in there in a lifetime, you're not going to understand everything. But you are going to have a basis and an understanding of what you need to be in that relationship with the Lord and have that faithful relationship with the Lord. And we have to strive for that. We see in Hebrews 11:5 about Enoch's faith. He had faith. He walked by faith with God. And Enoch's example shows that by walking in faith, he was spared. Now, we're not going to be transliterated like Enoch was. There's only two people in the Bible that, especially in the Old Testament, there were transliterated, and that was Elijah and Enoch. We're going to taste death. Those two men did not taste death, but we will be spared. If we're faithful Christians, we'll be spared. We'll have that opportunity to enjoy God and the rewards that He has. We need to walk with God, and we need to live in a constant conscience and obedient enjoyment of the presence of God. I like to stop there for a moment when you're talking about faith. And I'm going to direct this a little bit more towards the men. We can use it towards the ladies as well. Men, when you're put on the privilege to serve and the opportunity to take the Lord's table, ladies, when you have the opportunity to teach the kids' classes, do you feel like that's a privilege and an honor? Is your face such that, yeah, that's a privilege, I'm excited to do that, I want to do that, I want to help people know it? Or is it like, oh man, they put me on for song leading again, I don't want to do it? If you have that, you don't have the true faith. If that's your mentality, I'm not saying we don't all have bad days. I'm just saying, if your mentality when you're on there is, well, I don't care about that. Part of being a faithful servant to the Lord and being faithful to the Lord is taking joy in getting the opportunities to lead in worship, taking joy in getting the opportunities to go help people out in your community. Another thing that I think we struggle with when it comes to being people of faith is we have a habit. We'll look at somebody, just for example, might be someone on the corner out here, street corner, one of the people that hold the signs. I don't know how much that is in Parkersburg, but Marietta, I've seen it quite a bit. But you'll look at them, and what's your first thing? Well, why don't that bum go get a job? How do you know that bum's not trying to get a job? I'm not saying that person's a bum either. I'm saying that's our mentality. We think that they're lazy, and they're just not trying. We haven't. But so if you put all that aside for a moment about thinking they're lazy, all right, put that aside. Okay, what about, have you thought about how spiritually sick they are and what's spiritually wrong with them and that they need the Lord? We have a world today that is starving for the Lord. They may not appear to be that way, but people are angry and they need Jesus, and they need faithful people of the Lord to go out and to share that gospel. The Lord needs us to share His gospel. That's not optional. And often we'll think, well, I could share it with this person, but I don't have to share it with that person. I'm not saying don't be cautious. There's people that could harm you. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if you have the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody, share it with them. That's part of being a faithful servant to the Lord. That's part of having faith. You know, you never know what kind of seeds you're going to plant. You don't know if you talk to that person, maybe they don't come for 5 years, and all of a sudden they start coming to church, and you know, you get talking to them, maybe they'll say, well, it was because you told me about it. It took me a long time to get where I needed to be, but I'm here, but I want to learn now. Not everybody's receptive immediately, but that doesn't mean you don't give them the opportunity to hear the Lord's word. And as faithful servants of the Lord, we need to be willing to do that. So some more examples of how Christians today can walk by faith. Stay faithful all the days of our lives. Not just a Sunday morning Christian. And what I mean by that is I'm not saying the people that can't help it, that they can't make it here, okay? I'm talking about what happens with that is you're here on Sunday morning. Maybe you're here all three times. Let's just say you're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But the rest of the week, you're acting like a heathen. You're out doing things intentionally. There's a fine line between I accidentally sin and I didn't mean to say something, and I'm just blatantly going out and sinning the rest of the week, and then I'll just come tell God that I'm sorry on Sunday, or I'll sit on the front pew and say I'm sorry, and all's forgiven, but then I'll go back out and do it again. There's a difference. That's not true faith. Being faithful requires us to be faithful all the time, not just part of the time. Now, again, we're sinful people. We make mistakes. But we have a merciful, loving God that will forgive us if we choose to remain faithful to Him and we choose to repent. And it's true repentance. It's not, I'm sorry, and then you're out doing the same thing a minute later. It doesn't work that way. It has to be true sorrow. You know, there's evidence as well in our actions every day to people that see us, whether it's here at the church, whether you're at work, school, whatever you may be doing. There's evidence. People can tell if you're a Christian. People can tell by how you conduct yourself. You know, and people are looking, and this may not be the most popular thing to say, but people are looking for you to mess up. If they know you're a Christian, they're waiting on it. Oh, yeah, some faithful Christian he is. He's over there. He stubbed his toe and said a foul word. Shouldn't have said it. Oh, no, he's not very faithful. They're waiting for you to trip up. I would never tell you that it's okay to sin at home. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying at all times we are being watched. And if you take the people element out of it, God is watching us at all times. God knows what we're doing at all times. You might be able to fool people in the church, but if there's a secret sin you have, it's going to be found out when you pass from this land if it's not found out before by your fellow brothers and sisters. We need to be mindful of that. Well, if we need to study the Bible at home as well as church. How many people could say that they're faithful with their Bible and I'm not going to put a time limit on you, okay? The Bible's a precious gem. How much time you put on it, everybody's life's different. I don't know how busy you are. But if the only time you're putting emphasis on sharing, studying the Word of God is when your eyes are almost closed, are you really getting anything out of it? Are you growing to be more faithful, to be more a servant of the Lord? How often is it that you see that you might open it on Sundays, but it doesn't get open and collects dust the rest of the week? Your faith's not going to grow. I used an analogy with this as a car. There's park, reverse, neutral, and drive. Well, in park, you're just standing there. You're not doing anything. In neutral, you're not doing anything. With a car, you can do that. But with your faith, you're either growing or you're dying. It's one of the two. You're either in reverse or you're in drive. It's not you don't get a neutral. You don't get a park and everything's okay, it's hunky-dory. It doesn't work that way. And it's something that we have to be mindful of. So in order to walk in the faith, to walk with God, we said it earlier, it meant to live in that constant conscious enjoyment of the presence of God. We see peace here. To walk with God means that you're at peace with Him. Any known sin in your life has been confessed and it's been forgiven. And you have nothing to hide from Him. And to walk with God means that we go where He is going. You know, we don't need to try to run ahead of God. We need to allow God to be in charge of our lives. People of faith allow God to be in charge. And so often, we want to be in charge. I don't know if too many people that disagree, we want to be in charge. Whether you've been a boss at a workplace or whatever role you have, you might want to be in charge. The purpose, we need to walk. Walking involves a movement in a particular direction. You're not standing still. Two people can't walk together unless they agree on the direction. If you're going this way and God's going that way, you're going the wrong direction. Progress, and this depends. Everybody moves at a different pace when it comes to faith and learning the Word of God. Everybody learns differently. But progress, it involves a slow, steady movement. Even if your progress is slow, you should still be moving forward. Never be stationary. It's a privilege walking with God. It's the greatest privilege possible. He chose to give us that gift of grace and mercy that we do not deserve. When we walk with God, we have the pleasure of knowing that we will get to heaven. And we see our greatest description. I haven't gotten to there yet. I told you I'd give you descriptions. Jesus was the greatest example that we have of faith. If you want to ignore the other examples I've given you, I prefer you don't. But if you do, that's your choice. But you can't ignore Jesus Christ. You can ignore those other men if you want. I'm not, again, I, I don't think you should ignore Jesus either. It's free will. I'm not going to pull you up here and say, how dare you? I'm not going to do that. That's your choice. But he is the greatest example. If we mold our life after him, our faith will be great. Jesus knew scriptures by heart. Jesus understood their meaning. And Jesus never strayed from what God wanted him to do. While we can never be perfect, like Jesus, we can try to be. The word perfect, if you look at the word perfect, a lot of times we think we have to be absolutely perfect. We can never be perfect, as I said. What that means is complete or mature. We're striving towards that. We're not babes and just messing around, playing around all the time. We're more mature or complete. Now, I want us to see some things that will happen without faith. Right? I want to show you both sides of that. I think that's important to this lesson. What will happen without faith? We see there in verse 6, it is impossible to please God if we do not have faith. If we cannot please God, there are several things that we can be sure of. While a lot of people will acknowledge there is a God, not the God, while they acknowledge that, a lot of people say a God is real, but do they show any faith? Does anyone show, there's only one God. Let me make that clear. I'm not advocating that there's more than one God. There's one God. But a lot of people will acknowledge God, but they don't have any faith in him. And then without true faith, we can't receive the promises that God gives. Has he ever thought about the promises that God gives? A lot of them are conditional. Like to go to heaven, you have to complete the gospel plan of salvation. You have to do that. It's not an option. If you don't do that, you're not going to be found faithful, and you're not going to be in heaven. That's all there is to it. There's no getting around it, and we have to do it the right way. And unfortunately, those people that do not have faith or people that fell away from the faith and never got back to being faithful followers of God, they're going to face that everlasting punishment. That's a solemn thing that we have to be mindful of. There's consequences. You've got good consequences and bad consequences. To every action, to everything we do, has an action to it, has a consequence. Something we're going to go through because of it. When you sin or you tell a lie, does it not have consequences? Especially if you tell a lie to somebody and they find it out. I'm not saying you should lie and try to hide it. But I'm saying if you tell somebody a lie and they find it out, what's the first thing you're going to lose in that regard? They're not going to have any faith that they can trust you anymore or believe anything that comes out of your mouth. So there's that negative consequence. There it's one thing to deal with these consequences of this life, but eternity's consequences are so much greater. And that's why it's so important that we are people faith, and that we strive to be these people, the people of faith. If we are Christians, we have to believe that he is. That's the second step of the gospel plan of salvation. Continuing here, if you do have faith and you do believe, God has promised Christians that he will love them. He loves unconditionally. He loves everyone unconditionally. Let me say that. I probably didn't word that bad. He loves everyone unconditionally, but you don't get those rewards if you haven't done what you're supposed to. We're not ever alone. He's with us. God does not harm us. He never forgets us. He will answer our prayers to what's best for us, and I'll pause on that a moment, because how often is it we say a prayer and we don't get what we want? We don't want to pray to God anymore. Isn't being a faithful person and needing to be a people of faith, having that close relationship with the Lord, speaking to him daily, making time to speak to him, whether things are going good or bad? Because you don't want to only go to him when things are good, or you don't want to only go to him when things are bad. At that point, your faith's basically part-time. And you're in a sense, if you're only going to God when you want something, and it's not because you love God and you want to have that close relationship, really, you're going to him for the wrong reasons. You should go to him and talk to him and listen in the sense that if he says no, it's okay. There's a reason he said no. He knows what's best. We think we know what's best. That can be a struggle with our faith. We think we know what's best. We don't always know what's best. And we need to be mindful that sins can be forgiven. We have that chance of that everlasting life. Now, I've got more to this. My PowerPoint cut off a little early. But what I think about it and with needing to be people of faith, we look out in the world today, and I mean actually look out in the world today. The world's doctrines, false doctrines and things are getting louder. They're getting way louder. They're infiltrating more and more people. even as we sit here. We need to have the mindset of those of the restoration period. We're learning restoration history, and it really brought something out to me today in class about the faith. Those people were willing to go against the grain, against the majority of people, to preach what was right. They tried to preach what was right. Now, some of them, obviously, they had some different views that weren't always correct, that they had to work, that we see through restoration history. It works, it changes. You have more and more people, and they're getting it right. But they had a desire to teach people. They had a desire to help people. They were people of faith. And a lot of times, and I don't mean to sound too harsh with this, a lot of times we're getting softer because we don't want to hurt people's feelings. Christians are getting softer. And now, look, I'm not telling you to go grab somebody by the shirt collar, shake them, and say you're a filthy sinner. I'm not saying do that. What I'm saying is part of being a person of faith is going out and taking on that mission of sharing the gospel and helping people. We need to let people know we love them. We don't love what they do. If they're doing something wrong, you don't have to love that. You don't have to partake in that. Often, as people of faith, we get picked on because, oh, they're bigots. They don't like us. They don't care about us. It's not that we don't care about people. We might want to express to them that we do care about them. We don't like your sin any more than that we like our own sin. So we can't put ourselves on a pedestal up here and say we're faithful. You remember the Pharisee when he was praying? And the other person there was willing to say, I'm a sinner. I make mistakes. I'm wrong. Here's the Pharisee. I'm glad I'm not like that guy. If we put ourselves up on that pedestal, how can we expect other people to want to be faithful and follow God? Our faith at that point looks new. I think it is more important than ever that we need, we've always needed to be people of faith. But people need to hear the gospel, and they need to hear it now. We are waiting too much. We're not going out into our communities. I'm not saying you're not. I don't know you personally. So I'm not saying you're not. I'm saying the majority of us are not going out into our communities like we should. That we're not going out and talking to people because we're either scared, one, well, there's some characters out there, I get it, or we say we don't have the time, or thirdly, we have our own little stereotypes and we just don't want to do it. You know, Moses didn't necessarily at first. We know how faithful he was. He didn't want to go back to Egypt initially. He had objections, so he went and did it, and you see what did come out of it. With his faith, and with obviously with God first and foremost helping him, that they were able to get eventually to the land flowing with milk and honey. Moses and many others didn't make it because, of course, when you look at the Old Testament, they lacked a lot of faith. It happens today too, but they're worshiping golden calves. They're falling to idolatry. It's a theme throughout. They're not keeping God first. And a lot of times we'll pick on them when it comes to their faith and say that they're bad. They're not doing what's right. Well, we can have idols in our life too. Anything you put above God, it can be your television, your dog. I know that sounds silly, but some people, I think they do. It can be anything. Anything you put above God. It's easy to get drawn away. It's easy to get drawn away. It's easy to struggle with our faith. But by faith, we can overcome anything. And we need to be mindful of that. We can overcome anything. You might be in a predicament right now where you feel that you can't overcome it. Yes, you can. Talk to somebody. There's somebody that's willing to help you. If you don't want to talk to someone personally, talk to the Lord. We should strive to be people of faith. We need to go out and share that message and help people to hear, help people to believe, help people to find the way to repentance. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized. And then we need to make sure that we emphasize they need to remain faithful. Because a lot of times what happens is they get baptized and they think, all right, I'm good. I can do whatever I want now. If you don't explain it. I'm not saying everybody's that way. You might tell somebody and you explain it to them and people go do what they want. It happens. But we have to, have you been a person of faith once in your life, and you've fallen back into the world, and you don't know what to do? Study these scriptures. Come forward. Ask if you need anything at all. If you've not named the Lord, why are you tarrying? Why are you waiting? James 4 tells us that this life is like a vapor. It is going to disappear quickly. You might think you have 20 years. You might have 5 seconds. You don't know. I don't know. Why are you waiting on serving the Lord and being His faithful servant? If you think you can't be forgiven, you're wrong. You can be forgiven. If you really want to be, and you really want to make that change, you can be forgiven no matter what sin you've done. The only sin that I've ever heard of that you can't be forgiven of is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That was the one that talked about, Jesus talked to the Sadducees when they said He cast out demons in the name of Satan. That's the only sin I've ever seen in the Bible that they say, well, they can't be forgiven of. But if you, just for example, I'm not saying anybody's done that in here, but if you've murdered someone, you can be forgiven. Should you do that? You should take the opportunity to be forgiven, but you should not have murdered someone, but you can be forgiven. Maybe you've cussed or screamed or mistreated someone in some way, but you feel like I treated them so bad, I can't be forgiven. Yes, you can. Get that mentality out of there. You can be forgiven. If you have any needs, you need to come forward. Any need, prayers, whatever it may be. If you have something to say, come forward. We want to hear and we want to help you. We need to be people of faith. We need to get back to the way it used to be. We need to restore the church in the senses back to its original state. We need a new, for lack of a better term, we need a new restoration period. The world needs Jesus. It's up to us to go help. And if we really want to see the church grow and we want to see people in heaven, whether it's family, friends, or other people out in the world, then we have to strive for that. And we have to go do something about it. You can say all day what you want. Another wonderful thing about Jesus, and I'll leave you with this. Another wonderful thing about Jesus. Jesus' faith was so great that he didn't just speak to people. His actions spoke about him. His actions spoke louder than his words. His healings and how he dealt with people, even people that were rude and ridiculed him. You imagine being nailed to a cross and being mocked and ridiculed. I don't know how Jesus stayed on that cross other than his great amount of faith, and that was his Father's will. I couldn't have done it, and I don't know too many other people that could have died. I couldn't even survive the scourging part, to be honest with you, and some people didn't. I want you to be mindful of that. Think about the pain and the suffering that Jesus went through for each and every one of us. How dare we not want to be faithful to him when he gets scourged, he gets nails driven through his wrist, a crown of thorns put on his head, he's bleeding profusely. He's got nail or spikes, whatever you want to call them, driven through his legs. Got to push up just to get a breath, and eventually you die of asphyxiation because you can't get push up anymore. Your legs can't push up, so your diaphragm can't expand. We can be people of faith. We need to be people of faith. And God needs us to be people of faith so that he can have many more people in heaven. Thank you.